Today on Real Radio.
In the book of Numbers, that's why when the children of Israel were dying because of their sin against God, Moses goes, "What do we do?" God says, "Take some brass and melt it down." Brass is a symbol of judgment in the Old Testament. "Make a snake out of it. Take it, put it on a pole, a cross, and lift it up really high. Then tell the children of Israel who've gotten bit by these poisonous snakes, if you look at the serpent on the cross, you are going to be healed." And the Bible says some looked and some wouldn't look. How stubborn. What did Moses say? He said, if you look to the serpent on the pole, you'll be healed. "I'm not looking. There's a snake hanging off your leg. You just got bit by a poisonous snake. There's people dying all around you." And they said, "I'm not looking." Can you believe that? Well, hey, I'm saying to you this morning, come to know Jesus. You're going, "I'm not looking."
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 12. This is one of the New Testament passages that remind us that God Almighty is the Lord of all, not just the God of the Hebrews. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with his study series called In the Shadow of the Cross.
He says, "Father, glorify your name." That's a prayer, by the way. Then a voice came from heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The word glorify here in Greek is the word dioxo, or doxology. To render or to hold gloriously, to magnify, to occupy the entire heart. You know what God the Father is saying to his Son? "My Son, you occupy my heart." Any fathers here love their sons, love their children, their daughters? "You occupy my heart." The Father's saying, "My Son, you occupy my heart. You have not only glorified my name in your living, you're going to glorify my name in your death. And you're going to glorify my name in your resurrection. You've glorified me. And you will glorify me." This should be our greatest prayer, don't you think? Father, glorify your name. Listen, the reason why I just offered to you that suggestion, this should be our greatest prayer, is because I was convicted by how quick Jesus' answer came. Look at, he prays. How long does he wait to get an answer? When I read this, I said, "Gosh, Lord, I sure wish I could get my prayers answered this fast." And you know what's cool? I believe this is from the Lord. "Jack, if you pray my name be glorified in your life, you will have your prayers answered this fast." If I really approach him and say, "Father, whatever you want to do today, Monday or Sunday or Wednesday or whatever, glorify your name in my life." Do you know what I want the Father to say back to me immediately? "I have glorified it, Jack, in your life, and I'm going to glorify it again." Isn't that what you want? Those of you who are Christians, isn't that what you want? I want to say, "I know it's what we're supposed to want, but I was hoping to get that raise tomorrow." Oh, that's cool. But the Bible says God will promote, and he does the promoting. So put him first. But I think maybe my life might be much more successful according to God's terminology of success and will for success if I say, "Father, in my life, will you glorify your name?" Wow. All of a sudden, what do? Are you a housewife or a house husband or a corporate executive or a gardener or a trash collector, or what do you do? What do? "Father, glorify your name in my life." And I think God's going to answer our prayer immediately. You want to know why? In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified." That when you pray for, he answers. He wants the answer. Now listen, "Father, in my sickness, your name be glorified." Wait a minute. Are you serious, Jack? Yeah. Total freedom, isn't it? In my dilemma, Father, your name be glorified. In my poverty, God, your name be glorified. Stop focusing on your sickness, or stop focusing on your poverty, or stop focusing on your wealth. God, help me. In my wealth, be glorified. There's a prayer for you. God is easily glorified in sickness and in poverty, but in wealth, man is often deified in wealth. Look at the kingdom I have built. It's hard to say, Father, glorify your name in my millions of dollars that I possess.
You know, Jack, I wish I had to pray that prayer.
You're doing it wrong. You're going about it wrong. Father, your name be glorified in who and whatever I am. Man, there's freedom in that. No one's going to be able to come to you and shake your cage if that's preeminent in your heart. We see this also. Comfort comes from heaven. The purpose for Jesus' dying is that comfort comes from heaven. Then a voice came from heaven saying, yeah, I love it. A voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Instant answer to prayer. Third point, verses 29 to 36. He's in the shadow of the cross, entering on this Palm Sunday. We see here the third point, the revelation of his death. Jesus announces the revelation of his death. How many people could ever say, we're approaching the day of my death, this is how I'm going to die, and this is what's going to happen? The answer is no one. No one has ever done it, unless they've plotted their own suicide or plotted their own murder, which is suicide. Not only that, but Jesus is in complete harmony with the scriptures. He announces to them the revelation of his death. Remember what he had said earlier? Listen carefully, because I'm going to say some things that might hit some people upside the head. Remember earlier Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. I pick it up. I die when I want to die, and I come back to life when I want to come back to life. Nobody can take my life from me. You know how important that is? Did you know? Are you listening, people? Are you with me? Did you know, based upon faulty theology and Satanism that was justified in the Bible, in faulty theology, Adolf Hitler pursued the Jews in the name of God? Did you know that? Did you know what one of the titles he gave the Jews? Christ killers. Where did he get that from? Did you know much of Germany's theology of the day attributed the Messiah being murdered by the Jewish people? You know how demonic that is when the Bible says God, by his predetermined counsel and foreknowledge, gave Jesus up to die? There are no Christ killers. My sin killed Christ. I'm the Christ killer, if you want to point fingers. My sin impaled him on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, very much. But Hitler and his demonized rhetoric, using the theology of Martin Luther, said we need to exterminate the Christ killers. Isn't that interesting? Jesus wasn't murdered. It was by the predetermined counsel of God that Jesus should die for us. That's why he said, I lay down my life and I pick it up. Nobody kills me. That ought to cheer you up. The revelation of his death, verse 29, therefore the people who stood by and heard it, heard what? Heard verse 28, verses 27 and 28, the thunder or the angel speaking. They said, an angel has spoken to him. And others said, no, it's thundered. And Jesus says, this is interesting. Jesus answers and says, the voice did not come down for your sakes, or for my sake. The voice did not come down for my sake, but for your sake. He says, now is the kingdom, or now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world is cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples or nations, the word is, to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him and said, we heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? How can you say he's going to be crucified? Who is this Son of Man that you're talking about? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, you have the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things, verse 36, Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Quickly this, the revelation of his death, verses 29 to 36. Number one here, verses 29 to 30, the Father speaks for our peace. Interesting statement here. When it says here in verse 29, therefore the people who stood by heard it, said it's thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Listen to what Jesus says. It boggles my mind. This voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. I have a question. Listen, I have looked at 13 commentaries. None of them address this. So address what? Address this. Jesus said, hey, the voice that you heard, it wasn't for me. I didn't need it. You needed it. Everybody with me? Are you guys awake? Thank you. He says, it's not for me, it's for you. Then I have this question. If it's for them, then why did some hear it as thunder? And some are supposing an angel spoke to him. Question, did anybody understand it? I don't know. I wanted to read, excuse me, Jesus. If it was spoken for them, why didn't people understand what was going on? And though no commentators offered a suggestion or a thought, let me fill in the gap. I'm going to be just as wrong as their silence. But didn't Jesus earlier say, in 3.5 years previous, he would speak to the people in parables? Didn't he? And then his disciples came to him privately and said, Master, why is it that when you speak publicly to people, you speak in parables? How come you don't speak plainly when you're with us, like you do with us? I mean, you speak plainly to us. But yet, when you're with the huge crowds, by the way, they were Jewish crowds before whom he offered the parables. The nation Israel, who had their opportunity to accept him, but they rejected him. He said, for to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When I speak in a parable, you understand. But to them, it is fulfilled that which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Speaking to them, I speak to them, but they don't understand. They hear me, but they don't come to the knowledge of. And they have eyes, but they don't really believe in what they see happening. It's hidden from them because of unbelief. Why did some hear thunder and other heard angels? I think Jesus is telling us right here that the light that is before the nation Israel, remember, he said, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. Remember? Remember the Gentiles came and they said we would see Jesus. Jesus' answer is basically, wait a minute, I got to go to the cross. Gentiles, hang on, I got to go to the cross. Gentiles, wait, I've got to be rejected by the nation Israel first. Are you with me? This is cool stuff. Very, very powerful. Significant. I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. After they reject me, then you would see Jesus. And you will. Very excellent theology that's going on in front of us. He speaks for our peace. I simply want to leave this with you at this point. I believe how you hear God and what you hear God say depends upon your relationship with him. I mean that strongly. And I apply that to my own life. Listen, what do I mean? I mean this. How does Psalm 23 verse 4 grab you? Listen, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does that mean to you? Some people hear, oh, death, oh, danger, darkness, oh. I don't hear it that way. I think it all depends on the tone. How's your relationship with the Lord? Because I see it this way. Yay, though I, yay, yoo-hoo, though I walk, so I'm not dead, through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death. It's just the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. How come? Because he's with me. It all depends on the tone. Oh, we heard thunder. Hey, angels. Kaboom! How could it be so different? I believe that this is speaking about the tone and how you hear God. Another example. How do you hear this? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "For he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because as it is written, be holy for I am holy." Now, how do you hear that? Most of you hear it this way. I am holy, therefore be holy, because I'm holy. Oh gosh, come on, let's go. We gotta be holy. Are you being holy? I'm being pretty holy. And we walk around thinking that we can make ourselves holy. Isn't that funny? How you doing? I'm holy. You're not holy. The only way that you can get holy, that word means separated, sanctified, set apart from the world, is in him. He says in the whole thing in 1 Peter 1:15, he says, because I'm holy, you be holy. Say what? Yeah, I'm holy, God says. I'm holy. And because you're in Christ, you're in me. Because you're my child, you're holy too. And because that's true, then you walk a separated life. You see, if you don't get that right, you're going to sit down today. You're going to throw your TV out, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea anyway. But you throw your TV out and you pull your hair back and put a bun in the back of your head. Take all your makeup off, wear black, and walk around with your skirt about an inch off the ground. And if you're a man, you wear, you know, all black suit with a black hat. And you don't shave or anything. And you just be as homely looking as you can. Why? Well, we're holy. And if you ever talk to somebody like that, I'm telling you, I have. We're holy. How is it that you're holy? We don't have a TV. What else? We wear black. We're not attractive. Well, yes, I can see that. We don't want to draw anybody. We don't want to look. We don't have anybody. By the way, did you know in Israel with the little curl that hangs off their head, have you seen the Orthodox Jews with the black? The curl that hangs in their head. That is their desire to do that, in that they think they're fulfilling scripture, but they will actually tell you that they want to look as unattractive as possible so that they don't beckon temptation. And it's very successful the way that works. The thing is, you cannot become holy by removing things from your life. You have to become holy by adding God to your heart. That's what Palm Sunday was all about. That's what it was all about. Jesus, he spoke for our peace. Not only that, verses 31 to 33 tells us that the revelation of his death is that Jesus speaks for our freedom. Hallelujah for this. Now is the judgment, he says, of this world. Now, the ruler, Satan, of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up, crucified from the earth, I will draw all nations, peoples, to myself. This he said, signifying by what manner of death he would die. That is awesome. You got to circle that. If you're a non-believer this morning, you got to circle this in your neighbor's Bible. This is awesome. Jesus is saying, all right, listen up, everybody. You believe in me or not, I don't care. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be crucified. But I want you to know something. Two things are happening right now. Number one, the judgment of this world is in action right now. Number two, Satan is going to be judged at the cross. In the book of Numbers, that's why when the children of Israel were dying because of their sin against God, Moses goes, what do we do? God says, take some brass and melt it down. Brass is a symbol of judgment in the Old Testament. Make a snake out of it. Take it, put it on a pole, a cross, and lift it up really high. Then tell the children of Israel who've gotten bit by these poisonous snakes, if you look at the serpent on the cross, You are going to be healed. And the Bible says some looked and some wouldn't look. How stubborn. What did Moses say? He said, if you look to the serpent on the pole, you'll be healed. I'm not looking. There's a snake hanging off your leg. You just got bit by a poisonous snake. There's people dying all around you. And they said, I'm not looking. Can you believe that? Well, hey, I'm saying to you this morning, come to know Jesus. You're going, I'm not looking. I'm not looking. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm not looking. No way. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus later on, and Paul the Apostle says, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Because he who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that type, in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfills it. Satan was judged at the cross. And the judgment of the world is this. Are you ready? That the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come. And if I be crucified, I will draw all men to myself. Now listen carefully. This is very important. What does that mean, that he would draw all men to himself? Get your pen out, because this is startling. I have to tell you, in learning this, I never knew that this is what the word meant in the original language. The cross finishes God's work of atonement. The judgment to the world is a very amazing statement, because the Greek implies that it keeps going. The judgment continues to this hour. Satan was judged, and so was the world. But listen, some say this, when he is lifted up and will draw all men to himself, all mankind, they say this, that it means Jesus is going to be preached around the world and proclaimed. That sounds nice, but that's not the answer. Number two, some say that it's regarding his ascension. That is ridiculous. That doesn't even fit whatsoever. The third thing is, and this is pathetic, that when he's lifted up and draw all men to himself, that means he'll be well spoken of in the world. Excuse me, but in every culture in the world, if you want to cuss, you use Jesus' name. The Muslims in Mecca don't go, Mohammed, that hurts. When the Buddhists stub their toe, they don't go, Buddha, ouch. All around the world, if you want to cuss, people say, Jesus Christ, or they implore God, they call upon God to damn this or God to damn the other. Isn't that interesting? I don't think his name's going to be well spoken of by all people. But you know what? I think the answer is in this word draw. Because in Greek, the word is much more violent. The word means this, drag. Are you ready for that? The word means drag. To pull towards, to be brought in front of, to be dragged into the presence of another. What does this mean? That if Jesus is crucified, then the entire creation of humanity will someday be dragged into his presence and judged. How do I avoid that? Only one way. Believe what he did on the cross and get out of the loop.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study of John chapter 12. In the Shadow of the Cross is the title of this subseries, which is a look at John chapter 12 and verses 20 through 36. Now you can get in touch with us here at Real Radio and request your own audio copy. You can start by visiting www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or if you prefer calling, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.